Good morning and greetings in the name of Jesus to each of you. I will say this morning that I do covet your prayers as we look into God's Word again. Brother Larry just reminded me afresh, anew, that there is a responsibility and an accountability that goes with standing before God's people and sharing His Word. And so I trust and I believe that you do pray for your ministry. Keep praying for us that we would be faithful and that we would continue together in faithfulness. You may open your Bibles to Psalm 78. I found it interesting that my son had considered reading this. And I guess my mind went to Psalm 78 and to what God has laid in my heart this morning because of the Sunday school lesson somewhat. I think it's also because of where we find ourselves in church life. We come together here as a congregation from Sunday to Sunday at Blue Ridge, and I observe a lot of young families, a lot of children among us, a lot of youth growing up. And the burden that's on my heart this morning, I believe, is because of that. It's the same burden that came out in the Sunday school lesson of a rising generation that is going to take up, are they going to take up the things of God? Is the faith that you and I have, is it a faith that is, well, there's just a lot of ways I guess we could express that, but is it a faith that attracts? And that's what the title of the message is this morning, An Attractive Faith. A faith that attracts the generation that is coming. Just as an introduction, Psalm 78, it would be interesting, be good, well, and take your Bible sometime and just read through the psalm. It's a commentary of the children of Israel and everything that God did for them. We're not going to read it all, but I'd like to look at a few verses. I'll start reading in verse 1. We're going to read just 8 verses here to introduce this subject. Psalm 78 and verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to us. We could say it says their children, but has made them known to us, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. We're going to cease reading here. This introduces what's been laid in my heart this week as I thought about church life, I thought about a rising generation, I thought about future generations, children that aren't born yet, but that will be born if God tarries and gives, if life goes on in the way that we have known it, gives us more opportunity. There are generations that will come, that will take our place. We're here but for a moment. We're here to fill a space that God gives us, and time moves on, and Brother Larry made mention that it moves on rapidly, and when you get to about 40, you start realizing that it's going even faster than you think. And I saw a few smiles in some younger people when he made the comment that indicated that the grave's fast coming our way. That is so very true. As you get a little older, you realize how fast time is fleeing and how short the opportunities are. And so this morning, how can we as families as a church, as parents, as grandparents, how can we attract the rising generation and bring them into the place that the psalmist was talking about here, where the things that were given to us by prior generations are handed on to the next generation and become a part that they take a hold of them and they see them as a way of life. And as they embrace them because they believe in their hearts that this is the way that God would have us to live, these are the choices that God would have us to make, that they might set their hope in God, like he says in verse 7, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. That's our goal. That's what we want. That's what we want the rising generation to come forth and take a hold of. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 talks about faith. I mentioned the fact of passing on of faith. That verse tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And what I like to say about that is there are some things we know because we have perceived them through observing, through sense, the senses of sight, hearing, and touching. There are things, in other words, that we make contact with. And we know those things because they're right here. They're here, and we can attach to them. We can see them. We can have faith. That's one side of faith. There's another whole side of faith, and this is somewhat the side that we want to consider. We talk about a Christian faith. What are we talking about? We speak, what I mentioned is somewhat of a natural faith, we might say. It's a faith that we have upon the assurance of the reality of things being around us. There's this faith that he talks, that the Apostle Paul talks about here in Hebrews, that is a faith of things that we haven't seen, things that, yes, we as Christians know them because we have experienced some of them, the reality of them in our hearts and in our lives. But how do we get the rising generation to experience those things? You see, it brings on a whole new realm of thought. The person in whom we are called to believe upon, the things that we're called to embrace are not always seen. They're not always right here where we can grasp a hold of things that come to us. The things that come to us directly that we make contact with or through our special senses and so on are really in essence not faith, it's knowledge. We understand that, we connect with it, and we know that. And so there is a difference. The Bible tells us many times we get encouragement in the Bible to contend for the faith, exhort one another, contend for the faith. Paul says in Ephesians, He exhorts us to walk worthy of the calling that we're called in, the vocation, he calls it, wherein we are called. And I guess as I ponder that, I had to ask myself the question, what is the vocation that we're walking in? I think we need to stop and consider ourselves. I think God wants us to walk in a life of trusting him, and in a life of believing that he is in control, and in a life of believing that God has the answers. He can meet our every need that we face, our every problem, every struggle that we have. And as we do that, I believe that we do embrace the faith, and I believe that we embrace the faith in a way that it at least starts showing to our children that it's something that they probably want. How can we best turn our children's hearts and feet toward God? What can we give them that will stay with them the rest of their lives? How can we best prepare them to carry on faithfully after we are gone? Those are some of the questions I'd like to consider this morning in this message. There would be many, many more. But I have about 7 points I'd like to share, and I'm going to move right into them. I believe, first of all, that in order for us to pass on a faith, it needs to be a faith that is real to us, a faith that comes from within our own hearts. It's something that we are connected with. It's something that we believe in. It's something that we are convinced about. The Bible says much about this. There's numerous verses we could turn to. Deuteronomy chapter 6 talks about this. He says that it's to be in our hearts, our love, first of all, to God. We're to love the Lord with our entirety is what that verse says, to put every effort into it. And I believe this morning, it's only that we can bring children and we can pass the faith on to the rising generation is if we do, if it's evident from our own hearts and our own lives, by the choices we make, by the things we say, by the way we treat people surrounding us, by the way we put ourselves into church life. There's just a whole list of things this morning that are going to tell our children where our heart really is. And I believe this morning that there's many, many times that there is more caught than taught, like the old saying goes. You know, we can say everything just right. We can teach everything just right. We can take this Bible and we can sit down with our children and we can tell them everything as it were from God's word, and we can teach them that. But you know, when we leave those teaching sessions, those devotional times, those times of being around God's word, and we go out ourselves and we start connecting with the real world, that's when our children really start seeing the true father and the true mother's heart. Mm-hmm. I should say that the true heart of the father and the mother. Mm-hmm. It's there that they learn more probably. And I'm not saying this morning that we shouldn't have the teaching programs. Don't get me wrong. Those things are all very, very important. The Bible has a lot to say about that. But the challenge I want to lay before us as parents, in fact, Malachi talks about turning the heart of the children to the father and the father's hearts to the children. I believe that's something that almost happens automatically, at least in just the things of life. Maybe not in spiritual matters so much. Spiritual matters takes more effort. But my point is, when you fathers have a heart that longs after whatever it is, it's going to become evident. The choices you make in life will show where your heart is and what really is important to you and what means a lot to you and what makes your heart beat, as it were. You watch your sons and they'll take right on with that very heartbeat. It just automatically happens many, many times. My point is this morning is we need to look at our own heartbeats. See where our own hearts, what our own hearts go after, what means a lot to us. Those things are going to make a big impact in the lives of our children, I believe. And many, many times I have observed this as I get older. I see this, I think, more and more, that oftentimes what a father's heart longs after and what makes his heart beat, the children take after, and they will actually magnify in that. They will grow in that. They will even have more of it. It just seems like it automatically works that way. And so this morning, it's good for us fathers to just stop and really take inventory of our lives and our hearts and say, what is it that I'm longing after? What is it really that makes my heart beat? What do my children see in me? Who do they see me serving? What do they see me serving? What is it that consumes my thoughts and my time and my heart and my energies? What is it? Because our children are picking up on those things. And so if we want our children to pick up on the things of God, then the things of God need to be what makes us tick. It needs to be that we enjoy sitting down with our children and explaining to them the things of God and the way of life. It needs to be that our children see the joy in us of coming to God's house and worshiping together. How easy is it for us to miss church services and so on? You see, our children pick up on that. They watch that. They observe that. And just because we say we believe in being at church services, if we're not there, then they say, well, do you really believe it, Dad? They pick up on something else. More is caught than taught, I believe, many, many times. So, my point is this. When we truly have the faith in our own hearts, our children will see it in every action, every way of life, in the decisions we make in life. They will see the love of God as it works and it flows through the Father and makes its way to the community, church life, and the people that he meets round about him. Secondly, I believe that in order for us to attract the children to the faith, as a congregation, as a church, and I'm thinking about church life a lot, is what I'm thinking about. But as a congregation, I believe that we all have a very important part of this. I believe that the church is, each one of us, is responsible for the children that are among us. Yes, it is true this morning that I'm responsible for my family, for my children. You're responsible for the children that you have brought into this world. But there's a sense this morning, I believe, in which we are all responsible for the children in our congregation. Not only am I responsible for my children, but I'm responsible for yours, in a sense. Not in the same way that you are. But I believe that it takes someone has said it takes a whole community to raise a family. I think it takes a whole church to raise a family. It takes a whole congregation. And yes, it does reach out into the community. The community impact has an impact on our family life and on our children. It just works that way. But within the church this morning, and I like to encourage this. I believe it's good for us to stop and think about the choices that we make personally in church life and how it affects, how we affect each other with those choices. It works that way. I have noticed in my own family as I get older, and I don't have real young children anymore, but my older children, a lot of their ideas and attitudes and things anymore are set by their peers, and even those that are just a little bit older than them. They watch that. And the point I want to make this morning is especially to like the young married families and the middle-aged families, and we have a lot of them. There are people that are following you that are especially watching you and the choices that you make, and it's setting the tenor of church life for them is what it's doing. Mm-hmm. They're saying, well, that must be okay. That must be acceptable. And my point is this morning is that we are all responsible for the children. If there are those that lose out in the faith this morning, if there are those that leave our circles, if there are those that fall by the way, we cannot claim exemption from responsibility as a church, brethren and sisters. Right with that, I'd like to say that I believe one of the things that happens in church life, and it bothers me, and it's easy for me to go here as well, probably more so the older I get, but is the silence that is among us sometimes, especially those that are losing out or have lost out or are moving on in life, as it were, and we sit back and we kind of wash our hands and we say, well, they're making their choices. Brethren and sisters, are we exempt from it? We have a responsibility, especially when they were within the church and were a part of us. And silence is not God's way of reaching out and making the faith attractive. There's a sense in which when we just sit by and silently watch that going, that we somewhat may be putting our blessing on that. Maybe we don't put our blessing on it necessarily, but those kind of people can just simply go on in their way of life and say, well, it mustn't be as bad as people make it sound, because nobody talks to me about it. They go off on a journey of feeling alone by themselves. I'm aware of a situation right now, not here in our church life at all, in another church's life, where there's those kind of things, and the individual says, nobody cares. Nobody talks to me. I'm alone. I don't have any friends. Those kind of things I heard the individual say himself. And I think about that. You know, it's easy for us to see that there. But do we have those kind of situations in our midst? And am I ignoring them? Are we ignoring them? The church has a responsibility. It takes, like we said, a community to raise a family. It takes a church to raise a family. We all need each other, and we are all responsible. And I'd just like to remind us of that this morning. Let's not think that we don't have responsibilities for each other's family and the welfare of the children that God has put in our midst. Having said that, I'd like to come back. My third point this morning is, and maybe these points aren't in the order they should have been in, but thirdly, as I pondered this and I thought about all this, how to make the faith, how to attract our children to the faith, how to make it attractive to them, however you want to say it. Coming back to our homes, I believe that it begins in our homes. The responsibility comes from the home, stems from the home. Every home faces struggles, conflicts. Every home is in a community. There's communities around us. Like I said, the communities bring an influence into our children's lives. We can't keep that from happening. But we must find ourselves teaching our children that God has the answers. God has the way of life. God has the supply that we need. We need to train our children and teach our children from a young age to look to God for the answers, to be willing to take the advice of the home, the direction that fathers and mothers. And I'm going to, one of my other points is on the thought of submission and so on yet. But you see, there are opportunities for us to point our children to God is the point I want to make. And the more we can focus on God ourselves and the fact that God has the answers to us, we as fathers, as we lead our homes, those conflicts, those struggles come, those things come that we don't know, we don't have answers, we don't fully understand ourselves, we just turn it over to God. We ask God to show us, and we pray, and we respond in a right way ourselves. It's at those times, I believe, that we're teaching our children. Again, it's probably more caught than taught many times, but they see that, they observe that. And they see where we're turning to for our answers in life. Another thing I'd like to tell us is when God does answer and God does show us and gives us direction, let's thank God for that. Let's praise God for that. And let's give God the place that he wants in that. Not take the credit to ourselves, but give the credit to God. And again, as children observe that, they see that we're dependent on God and that we give God the very place that he deserves in our lives. I think, having said that, right with that, we touched on in the Sunday school lesson, this is thought of counting our blessings and being satisfied in life with the things that we have, the spirit of contentment, all those things enter into that. They teach our children where to look and be satisfied with those things. There's a lot more that could be said on that. Right with that, I'd like to say this morning. I said that we have communities around us. We have the influence of individuals around us, and we can't protect our children for that, and I don't, from all that, and I think God doesn't expect us necessarily to protect our children from all that, but he wants us to prepare their hearts so that they can. Jesus himself prayed that we wouldn't be taken out of the world, but that we would be kept from the evil of the world. And it's true this morning that sin and trouble abound in our world, and children cannot be completely shielded from that. Yes, we need to try to shield them as much as we can. More than that, I think we need to teach them the principles of right and wrong and help them understand and prepare their heart why we don't do everything that even other conservative Mennonites in our communities around us may be doing. And this morning, if you find yourself, I know we all come from various backgrounds and different families and so on, and some of us have families in other churches and so on, and that comes closer home to us at times. But we need to teach our children why we don't do the things that are happening elsewhere. From God's word, give them good answers. Not just tell them that we don't do that because you don't do that. There are times when we can do that. But if there is an answer in God's word to point them to, we need to show them that. And I'm so thankful again this morning to be in a church setting where we have the teaching that we do and the family togetherness that we do in our church life. I praise God for that this morning. It, I believe, goes a long way in the influences that are in our family. Keep the world's fun out of the home. The things that belong in the world needs to stay in the world. And we need to distance ourselves from the world. Guard carefully the things that your children get a hold of to read, the things that come through the mail. I think it's good anymore today. I don't know how your mailboxes are. I suppose they're much like ours, but there's a lot of things that come through the mailboxes today that just need to go in the trash can. One of the things that happens, I think my wife mostly gets the mail in at our place, and she just simply goes through that, and probably oftentimes half of it just simply goes into the trash can because that's where it belongs. We can let those things lay around in our coffee tables and so on in our houses, and our children can read and they're learning things. We need to be careful with those kind of things, I believe. I like to move on to another burden that I have, and I believe that here again, this comes back to us as older people and as parents and all of us together. We have the responsibility, each of us, to obey and submit to the authority that is in our lives. We all have authority that is over us in one way or another, and we are called to obey, to respect that authority, to enjoy, submit to that authority. And I believe that as parents, again, we're setting the pace for our children as we do that, as we especially respect. I like to put a lot of emphasis on that this morning. Respect the authority that is over us. Listen to them and hear them out. Maybe we don't always agree. Maybe it's not always the way we think it should be. And yet, we respect that. There are times maybe when we need to approach that authority and ask that authority about some of the decisions that may involve us and so on. There's a right way to do that. There's a wrong way to do that. And the way we approach those kind of things is going to tell our children a lot about us. And I think especially this morning as it relates to, okay, we're talking about children, we're talking about youth, and I believe in the school is one of the places where this becomes very evident. Parents, respect the authority of the school, the principals, and those that are running the school teachers that are there. It doesn't mean that the school teacher and the principals and those always make the right decisions and always do the right things. But be very careful how you approach all that. There are times when it needs to be approached. There are times when communication is very important. I don't want to, this morning, by anything I say, I don't want to get anyone to the place where they say, well, I just won't approach a problem. I just won't talk about it. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But there are avenues of doing that in a right way, I believe. And my point is this. Our children observe what is being said, the approach we take, and those kind of things. And what we're doing is, again, we're setting a way of life for them. It's just, it comes out. More is caught than taught many times. A heritage of faith is something that never happens automatically. There are some things that happen automatically. There are a lot of things in life that happen automatic. Our bent nature is in our children. And those kind of things, the negative aspects of life, those kind of things happen almost automatic. They just do. It's the way we go. But this morning, to make our children to pass on the faith and to attract them to the faith, it requires planning. It doesn't just happen. Fathers and mothers, you need to sit down and you need to talk about the goals that you have for your family, where you want your children to end up at. Communicate. Sit down and decide, as for me and for my family, this is what we're going to do. Talk about those things. Talk about the outcome of your way of life. Think about it. Talk about it. I'd especially like to just plead our fathers this morning in our homes to involve your wives with those kind of decisions and sit down with that and talk about those things. Our wives have some very good advice for us at times. As leaders, sometimes we feel like, well, we need to lead out. We have the responsibilities. We make the decisions. And yes, we know we have God's word and we know where to go. And it's easy for fathers to start laying home life down and this is how it's going to be and so on. And you know what? It can just well be that we have a wife that's sitting back and kind of even wondering about some of the decisions that we make, some of the things that we lay. And I'm talking again because I'm aware of a situation right now where that has happened. The father has just jolted the line down in family life. And not everything the way he jolted is the way it should have been. But he's convinced, I guess, that that's how it is. The wife is suffering. The children are suffering from it. And that's something I'm concerned about. I think it's good for us just to spend a lot of time with our spouses and talk about family life, talk about where we'd like to go, talk about the situations of our children, our family, together. Pray about it. Seek God's will together. Plan, train together. It's a part of it. It doesn't happen by one spouse taking the lead and the other one sitting back and not being involved. It takes two parents. This morning, our society is in the fit that it's in because of single parenthood. But my point is this morning, if we're not careful, single parenthood can happen within the church as well. And God didn't plan it that way. It requires prayer, planning, training. Right with that, I'd like to say one of the things that I believe brings about the opposite of what we so often think about. Obedience brings security. Our children need security. They want security. And one of the ways they find security is when they learn to submit and learn to obey. But you see, this stems back to us as parents again. If us as parents have never learned to submit and have never learned to obey, We probably won't raise a family that learns to submit and to obey either. And if that be the case, if that happens, then there's going to be insecure children, children that aren't sure about life. They aren't sure about the pressures of things when they get into society. And this becomes evident at very young ages. It becomes evident when it's time to go off to school. Those kind of things is where this shows up at. And I believe that many, many, many times, dear ones, it comes back to us as parents not having learned possibly the submission and obedience roles as good as we should have. And so, just to give you a little encouragement with your families, establish the basic ground rules of your home. Make applications. That's what God wants you to do as parents. And see, today in the world that we live in, society says, well, you don't do those things because you turn your children's backs against you. You turn your children off by doing that. That's the teaching that's in our modern society today. I'm here to tell you this morning that it works just the opposite of that. As you lay the ground rules and as you make applications to God's word, you bring security, you bring trust, you bring confidence into your children's lives by doing that. And as they observe and they see and they connect with that, it attracts them to what God wants them to be attracted to. It does. Our world will tell you otherwise today. Just a warning, there's a lot of books, literature out there today that you can get your fingers on that will tell you how to raise families. And a lot of it's tinted with the kind of teaching that I just talked about. Be very, very careful with that. Having said that, I'd like to say this yet. Discipline prepares children to experience spiritual victory. Our world will tell you exactly the opposite today. They will tell you that you don't spank children. In fact, you will turn them against parents if you do that. I'm sorry, my Bible tells me otherwise. My Bible tells me that discipline brings that security. Discipline brings that spiritual victory. Discipline turns the heart towards the Father. And yes, the Father's heart is turned towards the child when there's discipline involved. But our world's telling us something different than that this morning. Is it any wonder that our world and society is headed where they are? God's ways are not being observed. And there's nothing there that attracts the rising generation. You walk into the church houses in our communities. Is it any wonder that they're full of old people? The rising generation's not there. How much more evidence do we need? You see it time and time again. Maybe I'll just talk about this a little bit yet this morning. I believe that another way to attract our children, to pass on the faith or attract them to the faith this morning, is when we can just teach them that life is more about other people than it is about ourselves. And again, we as parents need to learn that. In other words, the joy of giving, the blessing of giving, it is more blessed to give than to receive, the Bible tells us. You know, our human nature is so much the other way. We are so concerned about ourselves. We're so concerned about our status. We're so concerned about making life happen for ourselves. And I think sometimes we probably are more of a selfish people, and I include myself with that. We're far more selfish than what we realize. Life is so much about the way I feel. Life is so much about myself. This morning, if we want to attract our children to the faith, if we want them to grasp a hold of something that is going to have God in their heart, going back to these verses I'm thinking about again, that they might set their hope in God, that's the phrase I wanted. If we're to attract them to something that they might set their hope with God, we need to teach them to give, to be spent for others. that the lives of others are more important than the life of myself, than my own attitudes and my own needs, and my put myself in the back burner, as it were. Make others' interests my interests. Show others that I care about them. Those kind of things are all a part of, I believe, finally. You see, a lot of what I'm telling you this morning seems to be just the opposite of the way it really works. And that's some of the points I'm trying to point out. There is joy in giving. There's joy in seeing someone else receive something. There's something that awakes the joy within our own heart and makes it a blessing to us, is I think what I'm trying to say. God is a God of variety. God has ways of attracting us, and I think we as parents need to be parents that use variety as well. There's no one set way of bringing children to the faith, and I think that's why I say this morning, part of why I say it takes a community, it takes a church, it takes that variety. You see, God's a God of variety. You just look at nature in itself, and we see all kinds of variety, and God enjoys variety. Someone recently brought that out here in devotions, the variety part and aspect of God, and I believe that's so true in bringing a generation along with us. It takes variety. And the point I want to make is I know that I and myself, I do not, my family, my wife and I, we do not have all the variety we need. We need the variety of the entire community, congregation around us. We need your help in that. And I believe as we can see that, it draws us together as a church family. When we see that we need that variety, and as the church family can be drawn together and that variety can be supplied, those gifts, whatever you want to call it, gets put together. It's a means of attracting, I believe, the rising generation to that very, very same thing. One more point, and I'll close with this point. And there's many, many more things we could talk about this morning, but I believe that in order for us to attract our children to set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, we need to remind them, constantly remind them of the love that God has for them. And the way we do that is by responding properly ourselves again to the love that God has shed into each of our hearts. Which brother was it just here recently that said we need to be asking the question, what can I do for Jesus, for what Jesus has done for me? And I think if we as parents can learn to live life with that attitude, what can I do for Jesus? What can I do for the church? What can I do for my fellow men? And not only ask the question, but get involved and do it. And as we do it, I think the generation following us will catch on and will set their hope in God. I believe it goes a long way. You see, the fact of it is, we can never overemphasize the love of God in our lives, our hearts, and our experience. God loves us far more than what we will ever know, or at least here in this life, what we will understand here. He understands our needs. He understands our hearts. He understands our feelings. He understands our concerns as parents. He understands all that. He understands the weak areas in my life and in your life. He wants to free us from all that. He has so much love that he wants to free us from that, and he wants to free our children. He wants to clean out those painful things from our life and our past and have them in the past, and he wants us to move on forward and fill our hearts with the beauty and joy and peace that he alone can give to us. And I thank God this morning that we serve a God like that. I thank God that as we try to make the faith attractive to the generation that is following us, that we try to help them to get their hope in God, help keep his ways their ways, I'm glad this morning that we don't have to do it on ourselves. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." I trust that's your heart, your experience, and it's my plea for us that we would have that for our family and that we would do whatever we can to promote that and help that happen in the lives of our children, that they too would set their hope in God. God bless you as you enjoy family life, as you take up the challenges. It's work, we understand that, but you're not alone in it. God's with you. Let's kneel for prayer.